statement I made the other night was true, and it's just as true tonight. If you don't like the preaching, you ought to come for the music. Blesses my heart, touches my soul. There's so much godless music in the world. But thank God for music that honors the Lord and a life behind it that backs it up. That it's not just performing. And I think you understand that tonight. His name was Jacob. He had defrauded his brother and wronged his father. And he was running away. And he went away to a faraway place. But he brought his troubles with him. And the Bible says one night he came to a little village just outside of Luz. And he was tired. The sun was going down. And the Bible says he put his head on a rock and went to sleep. But that night he had a dream. A dream of a ladder whose bottom was on the earth and whose top reached unto heaven. And angels ascending and descending on it. God gave him a promise. When Jacob awoke out of his sleep, he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." How much is that true today? Folks come to a service like this and just miss seeing God. The Lord is among us tonight. His Spirit is with us tonight. And if you'll, with your eyes and with your heart, open up to God tonight, you'll be able to see as well what Jacob saw, the presence of God. Then the Bible says, when he got close to the Lord, then he built an altar. He built an altar, just like many of you, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and last night, built an altar here. Here at the steps, at the front pews on either side, or the carpeted area of the front of the auditorium. But you built an altar. And you made God a promise that if he'll keep you, you will obey him. I think if Jacob was to sing a song, it would be our song that we've been singing each and every service. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. You help me out tonight as we sing this chorus once more. Lift it up. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Let's bow in prayer together. Father, again we've sung these words with our mouth. The sound passed over our lips, but really tonight, Lord, it come from our heart. And Lord, it doesn't make any difference whether we hit the note just right or not, because it was the cry of our heart for a closer walk with you. Lord, there's so many things pulling us away. The world, the flesh, the devil. And Father, it is times like this when we stop and we say, no, no more. I'm going to walk with Jesus. I'm going to get a little closer to God. It's not enough to be close to him. I want to be closer. Abiding under the shadow of the Almighty God. And so tonight, this is our prayer once more, Lord. That in the next few moments, our hearts will be touched. Our sins will be revealed. The conviction will fall upon us. And Lord, the compassion of the Spirit of God would move us tonight, as Jacob did, to build an altar. An altar before you to draw close to you tonight. In Jesus' name, I'm asking these things. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant that Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Thank you, honey. My wife sweetly informed me today, says, you know, you don't sing that song the way it's written. Well, that's because they didn't consult me before they put it in the book. But isn't that true? Sometimes you just sing from your heart. Maybe the note's not supposed to be held. And so she was kind enough. She says, I just changed the way to play it, the way you're singing it. Tonight, take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Proverbs chapter number 23. Two verses, one out of Proverbs and one out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 23, and the first part of verse number 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the charity chapter of the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. The first passage tells us we are what we think in our heart. Old preacher, one time he stood up there and he had this little phrase and somehow it just stuck with me. Sometimes it comes back to bite me. And he says, you are what you are in your car. Woo, doesn't that hit home sometime, right? You are, Jack. And I guess that's kind of similar to what the Proverbs passage is saying tonight. You are what you are in your heart. And what's in your heart is going to come out of your life. You can't help it. Listen, we could mask it and we could cover it, but sooner or later, the real you is going to come forward. And then the New Testament passage, the Bible tells us here tonight, that there is a maturing process of the heart. There comes a time to grow up. Now, I could understand when the Apostle Paul was writing here and he said, look, when I was a child, I speak as a child. Makes sense, right? I understand a two-year-old speaking like a two-year-old. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. I expect children to act like children. I expect children to be children in their speech and in their mannerisms there. But he goes on, he says, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And there are a lot of Christians that never got to that place in their life. They're still children in the Lord. Listen, you are not mature by how many years that you've been saved. I have known folks that have been saved 10, 20, 30, 40 years, maybe even beyond that, and still children in the faith, still children in their actions in the church, acting childishly and never growing up. And Paul says, when I became a man, when I matured, I put away childish things. Much needed thought for God's people today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul writes to the church there, and he has these biting words to them. Now, folks, before I read these verses tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, as I said before, revival was meant to be personal. I'm not here just preaching somewhere about all the great doctrines of God. No, it is for you. It is for your heart to move you. Now, I understand the ministry of the pastor is different than that of an evangelist. I've been both. And I understand that the pastor's responsibility is not my responsibility. And my responsibility is not his responsibility in some sort. His ministry is different. As your shepherd, he teaches you, encourages you, sometimes rebukes you, and exhorts you to do it, to do it right. An evangelist ministry, by and large, is to break up the fallow ground, the hardened ground that's been overgrown by weeds and sea and rocks and all, and to plow that ground so that the soil is good, that when he plants the seed, it'll be on good soil to produce good fruit to the Lord. So I don't preach as a pastor. He may preach as an evangelist, for it's called to you to preach the whole counsel of God. But I preach for one thing, to reach your heart. A woman in Vermont once told me, she said, after the service, she was so kind. She met me at the door. She said, "Mother Susan, you stepped all over my toes tonight." And I looked at her and I said, "Well, ma'am, I'm sorry. I was aiming for your heart." Isn't that the truth tonight? What good is it all up here and nothing down here? Why is it that we find it sometimes so hard to come to an altar? Is our pride so strong? Is our conviction of sin so weak? I don't want to be like that fellow that was very stoic, and his wife had passed on and he stood by the casket weeping. And the preacher come by. And he said, "Preacher, I loved her so much, I almost told her." I love Jesus and I want to tell him. And I want to show it. And tonight, I want to talk to you about how immature we are sometimes in our Christian life. We're living in a mini age. I mean, it used to be years ago. Some of you fellas know what I'm talking about if you're involved in any type of computer work. Years ago, computers would fill an entire room. Yeah. You would actually walk into a computer. And there'd be all kinds of switches, and they'd be clicking, 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 you know, back and forth, sending signals of the binary code, one and zeros, on, off, on, off, off, on. Do you understand that? I mean, you would just walk into that. You have more power in your cell phone than those computers had years ago. First computer was a gigantic room, and all it could do was four math functions: add, subtract, divide, and multiply. And we've now have taken the computer world, digitized it, so it's so small. And sometime in our cities, we have many committees and many budgets. The fashion has its many clothes, not to be worn by God's people, women or men. But I fear tonight that there are three areas of our life. I don't know if I'm going to get to all three tonight, and it's all right if I don't. But there are three areas of our life I don't want to be a mini Christian in. I want to grow up in the faith. And you never stop growing in Jesus. You just never stop. Have you ever read the Bible? A passage you read over and over and over again. And then all of a sudden you read it and you see something new. Isn't that right? You say, yes, you're growing in the Word of God. That's knowledge. Not just growing in knowledge, but in understanding and in wisdom. As we said the other night, make me to know wisdom. Not smart up here. Not make me to know knowledge, but wisdom. What is it tonight that's a tragedy of our mini Christian life? First of all, Matthew chapter 8. We'll probably spend the majority of time on this tonight. If we don't get to the other two, that's fine. But Matthew chapter 8. And verse number 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we perish." He says unto them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" I want to talk to you tonight about Christians that have many faith tonight. Do you realize how powerful faith is tonight? It was faith that took you from the pit of hell to the glories of heaven, made you a Christian tonight. It was by faith that your sins were forgiven. It was by faith tonight as you put your faith and your trust in God and His grace was bestowed upon you. But I wonder tonight, do we have many faith? How big is your faith tonight? It may not be as big as you think it is. And by the way, let me say this. A faith that is not tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. Lord, save us, we perish, O ye of little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? O ye of little faith. Matthew chapter 17. Find your way, please, to verse number 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic, and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. When I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Lord, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. How's your faith tonight? You have great faith tonight? You want greater faith tonight? I can imagine. There they were in the ship. Jesus was there. They were fearful. And he said, O ye of little faith. And then in this passage of scripture here, Jesus said that they were a faithless and perverse generation. Folks, let me tell you tonight, if you are not living by faith, you will be living in perverseness. God has ordained that the local New Testament Baptist church be supported not by chicken dinners and ice cream socials, but by people who believe and have faith in God to provide their needs and to give their tent and to give their missions by faith unto God. And when you don't live by faith, then you're going to live in the flesh and be perverse. You say, preacher, we got to raise some money up here. Let's have some car washes and let's have this and let's have that. Then you're going to lose the power of God upon this church. Right. Oh, faithless and perverse generation, Jesus called them. The disciples were kind of curious. And they said, Lord, how come we couldn't do it? He said, well, of course, preacher. Of course they couldn't do it. They were just the disciples. They weren't Jesus. Turn back to chapter 10. Same book. Seven chapters before this. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. There, seven chapters before this incident, Jesus said, I give you the power. I give you the authority to do this. Yet when it came time for them to use it, when it came time for them to exhibit their faith, they failed. Why? Jesus answers very simply, because of your unbelief. And then he gives the illustration of great faith. If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. That's what faith can do. You say, preacher, don't forget the next verse. Much misunderstood. howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. He's not talking about the demon. He's talking about that kind of faith. You don't get that faith by saying, I hope so, I think so, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. You know, like the old story of puffin' tube going up the hill. Yeah, I think it. That's not faith tonight. But faith is built upon the Word of God, and we're going to look at how you could increase your faith tonight. So why couldn't we do it? He said, if you're going to have that kind of faith, there's two elements. I'm not going to preach on this tonight, but I want you to mark them down. If you want to have great faith, try praying and fasting. Now, I know fasting is a no-no word in Baptist churches. Believe me. Now, I'm not talking about fasting because you have a blood test the next day. You know, you have to fast 24 hours or 12 hours before that. And we've all have been through. I'm talking about purposeful time of just saying, I'm going to fast for the ministry of prayer. Now, take the time you would normally eat and pray. For some of us, that's continual. We don't understand that. Now, if you have a medical condition, I understand that. That's, you talk with your doctor, whatever. But I'm just telling you what the Bible says here tonight. How do we get faith tonight? How do we increase our faith? Now, let me suggest several things here. First of all, we get faith by the Word of God tonight. Romans chapter number 10. Romans, the 10th chapter, and you know the verse probably that I'm going to go to. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing. You got the same Bible I do. And hearing by the Word of God. How do you get faith? From the Bible. If you're not in the Bible, you're going to be a faithless person. Faith cometh by hearing. That's why you need to be in church every time these doors are open. If physically possible for you to be here. And if you come a little late, you have to come with work clothes. God bless you. Come. Because faith cometh by hearing. And when you hear the Word of God that speaks to your heart, your faith will be increased. But if you're on again, off again, miss and on, and Christian, you're not hearing the Word of God tonight. A faithless person is not hearing God's voice in the Bible. You may be reading it, but you're not hearing God speaking to you. You know, all through the Bible, it gives testimony of the fact here that God honors faith. Now, how do we get that faith? First of all, we get it from the Word of God. You ought to determine in your heart, and I'm amazed sometimes, and I'm not asking for a show of hands because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but there may be some here that never once in their entire life read from Genesis clear through to the book of Revelation. And yet you say, that's the Bible, that's the book, that's God's Word. You don't even read it. Yeah. We get so upset. As I mentioned the other night about the Ten Commandments not being in the schools and in the courts. Are they in your home? Are they in your home? The Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 6, put them on the wall, put them on the hole, put it all around. Have the word. If I were to walk into your house, just step in the door and look around, is there anything that tells me a believer lives there? I tell young people all the time, if I were to walk into your bedroom and look around, maybe I could see who your favorite baseball team is or your favorite football team is. But do I see anything that tells you you love Jesus? You get faith by the Word of God. But secondly, we get faith by remembering. We get faith by remembering. I think over the past, when God brought me, has God ever delivered you from something? Has He? Some of you He has testified to it just now with your amen. Folks, never be afraid to say amen. Shows the devil whose side you're on. The devil said, hey, he ain't getting it. He ain't. And by the way, if you really want the preacher to preach short, say a lot of amens. Because I hate folks. Listen, if I'm preaching and you're not saying amen, you know, I said, these folks aren't getting it. I got to pound this in a little harder. They're not getting it. They're not picking up on this. I hear amen. Okay, they got this. We can go on to the next point and finish up. There is a limit. We get faith by remembering. Have you ever read in the Old Testament, God says, build a monument. Get some stones. And when your children walk by and say, what mean these stones? You testify and say, that is where God delivered us. You build a monument. You remember what God did in the past. And I said, God, you're the same today as you were yesterday. You brought me through then. You can bring me through now. When I asked my wife to marry me, I mean, she wasn't my wife then, but you know what I mean. I gave her a diamond ring. Well, I saved up for that thing. I really did, and I was hoping she'd like it. She took it. She accepted it. Slipped on her finger. That wasn't as important as the next one that was going to go on her finger. The one that didn't have the diamond on it, but the band of gold. And she wore that for years and years. One day she got into one of these cleaning modes, and she caught me in a moment of weakness and dragged me into it. I mean, she said, oh, he's hot now. Okay. Oh, we started upstairs in the bedroom, in the bathroom, the two bedrooms upstairs. Then we went downstairs, did all the downstairs. We went down to the basement, and we're cleaning out all the basement. We go out to the garage. We started cleaning out the garage. I mean, we were on a roll. Fonda said, honey, we can need to be somewhere tonight. She says, oh, yeah, we better quit. I said, yep, we better. I went in the house. Got washed up, showered up, cleaned up, putting on my suit, putting on my tie. She was already dressed. She says, I'm going to go brush my teeth, and I'll be right out. Now, our bathroom is just around the corner of our bedroom. You just come out, take a look, right there. So I'm putting my tie on, getting straightened out, and all of a sudden I hear her say, oh, no. It's gone. Brushing teeth, gone. Teeth fall out. I don't know what happened. She come back in the bedroom, tears in her eyes. It's funny. The diamond fell off my ring. Somehow, and all that cleaning, swabbing in buckets with rags and sponges, some mouth caught one of those little prongs, and I don't know, but it looked pretty ugly with that hole sitting there. And I said to her, I said, honey, it's okay. I'll buy you another one. She said, it won't be the same. I said, I know they cost more now. And I'll admit that thing looked pretty ugly. So she had to take it off. I felt so bad. She felt bad and I felt bad. I said, well, honey, we better go. She says, I said, I'll bring the car around. We have a horseshoe driveway. I said, I'll bring the car around. And going down the stairs, I said, Lord, you know where that diamond is. Lord, it could be in a bucket. It could have gone down the drain. But God, you know where that diamond is. And God, if you will, it would mean an awful lot to my wife and to me. If somehow you show me where it is. Now, folks, I'm not into spooky Christianity. I want you to know that. I'm not into spooky Christianity. I went out to my car and opened up the door, and something was shining and winking at me on the seat. It was a diamond. I don't know how in the world it got out into the car. And I picked that thing up. Thank you. Put it in my pocket. Went back in the house. And I said, by this time, she dried her eyes. And I said, honey, I bought your diamond. Oh, no. I said, did you pray about it? She goes, no. I really didn't. So, well, I did. Took it out and I showed it to her. Where'd you find that? I told her. We put it in a safe place. We went down to the jeweler the next day. I said, you put this thing back in that ring. I want you to epoxy it, weld it, get that thing. I never want to see that thing come off again. And folks, that helps by remembering. It helps increase my faith of what God can do. We get faith by remembering. Book by book, chapter by chapter, God always tells his people, remember the Lord that brought you out of Egypt. Remember the Lord who delivered you. Remember the Lord that supplied your need in the wilderness. Remember the Lord, remember the Lord, remember the Lord. And I said, God, you're the same. And your power is not diminished. I trust you then. I trust you now. Oh, I can have so many others. Let me share one more thing with you. When we started our church, we called it Faith Baptist Church. No, I did not name it after my wife. But it was a name that the folks wanted. We're going to start a church by faith, so named Faith Baptist. After 2-3 years, and God was blessing, I had a real burden to be on the radio, to preach the gospel on the radio. And one day I found myself in a parking lot. And there at the radio station parking lot, I went inside. He says, can I help? He said, yeah, I want to preach the gospel. And he says, okay, when? I said, Sunday morning. He goes, how about a half hour? I said, hey, that sounds great. I said, how much? He goes, $30, dollar a minute. I said, you got a deal. I go back to the church. Get the church together. I said, folks, what's our name? Faith Baptist. What's our name? Faith Baptist. How much faith do you have? I told them about this, and 30 people says, I'll give $1 a week, preacher. So we had the $30. Then I wanted to be on the FM side. I went down to the FM station. They were a little bit more. They were $40 a week because they were 50,000 watt megawatts broadcast. And so I went back and said, folks, so what's our name? Okay, preacher, what do you want? I said, well, we're on the AM side. Because some of those people said, I'll give $2 a week, and others join in. Now we're preaching the gospel. One day a man called me up. He says, preacher, I've been listening to you on the radio. I own a grocery store here in town. And he says, and what I'd like to do, and I believe in your preaching and what you're saying, I'd like to sponsor your broadcast. I said, well, that's very nice of you, Brother Joe. And he was a Christian man. I said, very nice of you, Brother Joe. But I can't preach the gospel and say, oh, by the way, folks, this broadcast is brought to you by Joe's Meat Market. This week, pork chops, 49 cents a pound. You know, he said, no, 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 no. I don't want that at all. I don't even want you to mention my name. I just want you to make one change. I said, yeah, what's that? He says, send me the bill. What's your address, son? What's your address? So now we're on two radio stations paying for one. The FM station calls me up and says, Reverend, the station's been sold. We're canceling all religious broadcasts. Canceled Billy Graham and Oral Roberts and Rex Humbard at that time. Cancel them all, but we want to keep yours because you're local. I said, well, that's great. But you have to move your time. See, I was on one from 7:30 to 8, and then on the other side, 8 to 8:30. So we had an hour that we covered the radio band. And I said, well, I don't know. That's kind of late for people to hear the broadcast and come to the services. I said, you know, I have a contract with you. He said, yes, sir, you do. And we have three options. One, we can cancel the contract and just drop you. Secondly, we can let the contract run out and not renew it. But if you move to the new time slot, we'll give you the time free. And that sounded like a great time slot. It's all by faith, folks. I was sharing prayer. I don't normally do this, but preacher, I just want to share that text message with the folks. Before I came here, and you're going to be out on time. Before I came here, I was preaching in Ohio and in a missions conference there. pastor told me, he said, for the last 11 years, they've increased their faith promise missions. And I said, oh, Lord. I don't want to be the preacher to break, you know, the run here. I said, well, I mean, increase. I said, oh, Lord. I poured my heart out. People responded. I wasn't there when they read the promises. And here's what he writes. He goes, Brother Sousa, Travis Burke here of the Gazadale Baptist Temple in Goshen, Ohio, said, wanted to share this. Last year, our faith promise was $67,000. Sunday's result came in at $87,000. I looked at that, and even now I'm holding back the tears. He said, I've never seen an increase like that, an increase of $20,000. Well, that church is not a big church. But you know what? God honors faith. It's obvious I'm not going to hit those other 2 points, and I'm not even going to try, because I believe, honey, you come to the panel. I believe that we can have greater faith tonight if we would trust God. If you'll be in the Word of God tonight, if you will fast and pray, and if tonight you will remember the past and give God the glory. Let me ask you tonight, what do you need in your life? Whatever you need, God can provide. But it's going to take faith. I want you to think right now. You have a loved one that's not saved? Son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter, husband, wife, friend, neighbor, aunt, uncle. I think everybody here tonight knows somebody needs to be saved. That's going to take a great amount of faith on your end to pray in faith that God would touch their heart, touch their soul. Do you care about them dying and going to hell? Do you care about their life? I appreciate so much tonight, folks, you'll never know it, as you filled this altar in prayer for my daughter-in-law, my son, and our good friend, Abby Laffineur. Takes great faith, folks. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not satisfied with the faith I have. I want it to increase, and maybe you do too. O ye of little faith. You say, preacher, I have little faith. That's okay. Take that little faith, plant it into the grace of God, see what God can do, and let God increase your faith. Why don't you tonight stand with me right now, please? Look up this way. Somebody come now. You need faith for something in your life, a healing, maybe something in business, maybe something in the home. You just come to this altar tonight and say, God, I need greater faith, God. Give me greater faith. God, I know what you did for me in the past. I know what you can do for me now. And God, increase my faith tonight. I don't want to be, oh ye of little faith tonight. Whatever problem you have, faith, by the grace of God, can solve it tonight. Won't you come to this altar tonight? Show the devil whose side you're on tonight and say to God, God, I want that kind of faith in my life to move mountains. You say, well, I never saw faith move mountains. You never saw anybody with that kind of faith before. And I could have gone on tonight with more and more biblical references and more illustrations, but I believe I preached enough. And the Holy Spirit is moving tonight. You multiply those prayers that are at this altar and on this front bench and the altars that are being made right here tonight before God, just like Jacob. I didn't know God was in this place. Oh, but now I know it. And I'm going to follow him because he gave me his promise tonight. Do you think you could be saved by faith and walk by sight? No, it takes great faith tonight. It's not too late. Find an aisle and walk down.